Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In our prior broadcast, we examined how you, as the offending party, should reconcile with the person that you've offended. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how you, as the offended party, should make an attempt to reconcile with the offending party. So this lesson is on how to reconcile with others when you are the offended party. And people need to know how to do that. It's called confrontation, and oftentimes it's difficult for people to do. But hopefully by looking in the Bible, we can show you some things that may not make it less emotional, make it easier because of the timid nature that you may have or the fear that you may think you're going to experience, but honestly, if you follow what the Bible says, if you just take the practical advice of this lesson, you will find, honestly, that more times than not, you can get those differences settled between you and somebody that's offended you. And really and truly, if you're the kind of person who just hates confrontation, which a lot of people are, you ought to seriously, consider what you're hearing today, because many times, the problem that you experience emotionally and mentally and spiritually when you live in an unreconciled situation is actually worse than what you experience when you go to try to get it cleared up. So hopefully today you're going to hear something that you don't already know, or you'll hear something that you do know that just brings confirmation so that you can keep reconciled with others, particularly somebody who has offended you. All right, first thing, confront small things right away. Now for this, let's go to what appears to be an unrelated scripture, Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 15. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 15. This doesn't appear to have anything to do with the reconciliation with others, but you'll find that it does. Song of Solomon 2:15 says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Now this is a conversation between a husband and spouse. "O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Let us take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." So, in the context, the application is simple. It's the little things that cause tension in relationships. This is particularly true with a husband and wife. Something small comes up, you think, it's just small, I'm not going to deal with it. And another small thing comes up, you think, it's small, I'm not going to deal with it. But it begins to eat on you, particularly since it's now compounded with another problem that you had. And then three or four of these develop, and now all three or four of them together are one big mess. And now you got to deal with it, but some time has passed. Each of these incidences was a small affair to your spouse. And now when you bring them out, they have a lot of bite to them. They're little foxes, but they bite and they spoil the vines. So what we say is confront small things right away. Don't let anything build between you and other people, particularly family members. But if something little happens, a lot of times we can let it slide. It has absolutely no effect on the relationship whatsoever. But if you're in a continuing relationship with somebody, like a family member, perhaps an employee, and it's just one nagging thing after another, you've got a problem. And you know what you have to be able to do? You have to learn how to go ahead and say, whoa, I know it's a small deal. We need to take care of this because I cannot carry it. confront small things right away. Now, don't be a nitpicker. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is something that truly, truly is worthy of confrontation, even though it's a very small thing, because it has the tendency to be compounded with other things and become big. Okay? If you got that kind of situation brewing, you just have to say, hey, whoa, wait. You know that little thing you said right there? We don't want to do that. Oh, okay, sorry about that. And you're done. You go on. No biggie. Everybody understands. It happens right then. Take care of it right then. Never comes up again. Second thing to do when you're trying to reconcile with others, pray for him or her. Pray for him. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. You say, why would you do this? Well, it really, really prepares your heart and prepares his heart. I say his. It could be you and a woman, you and a girl. But in this case, it's not gender specific. It's just we're not trying to reconcile with the family dog. Pray for him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, they may not hate you. They may not despitefully use you. They may not be your enemies. But if you're going to pray for your enemies and bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you, then you can certainly pray for somebody who loves you but is now on the outs with you because of something they've done that's offended you. Now, it's an amazing thing, but in prayer, God can do abundantly more than you can do to soften an offender's heart. You know, a lot of times, people have no idea that they've hurt you, at least not to the degree that it has hurt you. In other words, they will know when you confront them that something happened, but they may not have any idea that it's affected you the way that it has. And so when you pray for this person, what it does is it calms your heart. It centers you back on the Lord Jesus Christ rather than on the thing that you have to confront or on the problem that's been caused. It does something to your heart in affirming the relationship that you have with this person by mentioning them before the Lord. And it's a whole lot better than carrying on some crazy conversation in your head with the committee when the conversation you're going to have in confrontation isn't anything like the conversation you're having in your head. So prayer is just wonderful because it prepares the offender's heart. It prepares your heart. You know, it allows you to talk to God instead of to the committee. That's all that's important. Okay? Now here's the next thing you do. When you are trying to reconcile with others and you've confronted the little things right away, you prayed for this person, all right, don't talk about it with others. Don't talk about it with others. Now, that by that I mean, you know, I realize some people have support groups and things like that, and they sort of talk in general terms with others to sort their own thoughts out and their own feelings out, and I understand that. What we're talking about here is you going and thrashing the thing that's eating on you so that you then calm down for a period of time and don't have to deal with it. And we're also talking about tattletaling, running somebody else down because you don't want to deal with it to their face. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8. That's where our verse is on this one. Proverbs 25:8, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. See what he said there in verse 9? Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. This little problem has come up between you and this other person. So talking about how this other person has crossed you only fuels the fire, gets you all stoked up, you know, spreads the tale so that other people now know what old Joe Blow has done. And, hey, this is between you and that other person. It's just between the two of you. So you got to be careful about that. I say that talking to other people stokes you up and fuels the fire. Sometimes it may even let off steam In which case, you think you've dealt with the problem, and you really haven't. And then later on, the steam builds again. You find out, oh, boy, now I got a real problem on my hand because that thing that he did offended me, and now this thing he's doing is offending me, and woo, there goes the teapot, blowing steam again. So you got to go run to somebody and tattletale again. That doesn't ever solve the problem. The only way to be able to reconcile with another person is that you have to keep it between the two of you and find a way to fix the problem. All right, here's the next thing. Don't take vengeance on him. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 18 to 21. Fabulous passage of Scripture here. When you're trying to reconcile with somebody else, do not take vengeance on him or her. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So don't take vengeance on a person that has offended you. Just don't do it. You know what happens? In other words, be ready to help him instead. He may have a need. You may be the one who can fulfill that need. Go ahead and do that. What did the Lord say? It'll heap coals of fire on his head. Now, don't do it just to heap coals of fire on his head. I had somebody that had it out for me one time and gave me a gift at Christmas time and then told me in January, well, we gave you that gift because we wanted to heap coals of fire on your head. Well, keep your gift, okay? Keep your gift. That's not what the Lord's talking about here. You don't do something nice for somebody else so that you can heap coals of fire on their head. You do something nice for them because you're overcoming evil with good, okay? It helps in the reconciliation. And when it really is properly done, there are coals of fire on the person's head. They're like, man, I shouldn't have done what I did to that person. I need to go make it up. So be ready to help him instead. However, it is too easy to be overcome of evil and to escalate a war of mutual retaliations. In other words, when somebody's offended you, sometimes what you want to do is you want to combat them. You want to go back on them. You want to escalate. You want to retaliate. And so then, of course, when you do, they're going to retaliate against you, and you're going to retaliate against them, and the thing is going to turn into a rock fight. There's no reconciliation, I'll tell you. There's no reconciliation in a rock fight. Okay? None. And so you don't want it to go there, and the way to keep it from going there is to not escalate it, and the way to keep from escalating is to not avenge yourself, just like the Lord said. You say, well, we hadn't got down to the reconciliation. I know, but we're laying some good groundwork, aren't we? All right, here's where we are so far. If you're going to reconcile with another person, confront the small things right away. Don't let things build. Pray for him or her. Don't talk about it with other people because that doesn't solve the problem. There's no solution in that unless somebody else is giving you counsel about how to solve it. And then don't take vengeance on him because you're only going to escalate the problem into mutual retaliations. All right, here's the next thing, and this is where we get down to the reconciliation. Go to him. Go to him. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. You've got to go to the person. You can sit there and stew on it all day long if you want to, but you've got to go to the person. Luke chapter 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. See, you got to go to him. You've got to talk to him. Rebuke him, and if you repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Funny that the apostles would say right after that, Lord, increase our faith. It's not an easy thing to do. I understand that. But You need to go to the person. You need to. Hey, I've got to rebuke this person for what, you know, how he's offended me. Now be patient and wait for the perfect time to do this. Why? Because sufficient time which could be later in the day, or sufficient time, which could be next week, affords you time to cool off, and it gives him or her time for your prayers to work. In other words, while you're praying for this person, a little bit of time allows the Lord to do something to prepare their heart and mind for your reproof. And you just go over there all stoked up and angry, well, it's not going to go well. So what you want to do is you want to pray. You want to know how to say what you're going to say. You want to put that thing before the Lord. You want to be calmed down so that you can adequately deal with the problem, you see. And so patience gives you a little cooling down time, gives time for your prayers to work. But listen, you nevertheless must plan on having a face-to-face talk that you initiate if after prayer the person who has offended you doesn't come to you. Okay? You've got to see them. You got to go, "Hey, buddy, this is what you've done." See? You've got to rebuke them. Listen, you know why? Because what's going to happen is you're going to say, "That person ought to know that they offended me, and how come they hadn't come to me to apologize?" Well, maybe they don't see it the way you saw it. And so by going to them face-to-face, you can say, "Listen, I've got a problem here, and you're it." And then start that process of reconciliation. And then you're not sitting there with all these expectations that they ought to come fawning to you because of the terrible thing they've done to you. And then you be all mad because they hadn't done it. Man up, go to them, have the face-to-face confrontation. How to reconcile with others? Go to them. Here's the next thing. Don't attack the person's character. Just deal with the conflict. That's hard to do. Turn to Proverbs chapter 25 and look at verse 12. Don't attack the person's character. Just deal with the conflict. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 12. Proverbs 25, 12, "As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." Well, not only does the person need to have an obedient ear when you come to rebuke them, but you have to be wise. And it's not wise to come in and say, "You sorry, no good so-and-so. Look the kind of mess you've caused here. If it hadn't been for you, we wouldn't be in this." See, that's not going to go anywhere, because all you're doing is running the person down, and people will defend themselves. So rebuke the person specifically for the trespass, so that there is no mistake what needs to be reconciled. You go to a person and say, "You know what, blah, 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 blah," and you're not getting down to the business hand. You're not dealing specifically with the conflict. They're not even sure why you're all upset. So deal specifically with the trespass. Undoubtedly, he's going to see the situation differently than you do. And so a clear, succinctly stated rebuke will be needed for him to know exactly what the problem is. And I say succinctly stated. Just say, "You know, the other day when we were talking, you said this, and that offended me." Okay, there's no mistake what the problem is, because you have identified it. Now, you may think, "Listen, I don't want to do this, because I'm all worried that the relationship we have might get worse if I go in and I confront somebody about, you know, how they've offended me." I don't believe that. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 23 says this. Proverbs 28, 23 says this: "He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue." Man, there's so many people that flatter with the tongue. They say, "Oh, you're such a nice person. I love being with you." But in here, they're stoked up because they've been offended. You know what you need to do? You need to stand up and say, "Now, wait a minute. We have a problem that needs to be reconciled, and here's where the problem stems from, and here's the rebuke." And the person then can say, "You know what? I'm sorry. I really have messed up there." And you can say, "You know what? I forgive you." That's good. All right. Be firm and get right down to the business at hand. Galatians chapter 2. Be firm and get right down to the business at hand. Don't beat around the bush and all that other stuff and, "Oh, I love you," and, you know, "and if it wasn't for this one little thing, everything would be going great." And they get into a long, drawn-out expose on what happened. Look, just get down to the business, okay? And be firm. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, Paul had a problem with something Peter had done. Peter was eating with Gentiles when no Jews were around. When the Jews showed up, he separated himself from the Gentiles and would only eat with the Jews to act as if he was still being purified. And boy, I tell you what, Paul didn't like that. So what did he do? Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul said, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Paul was upset about that. So he said, look, man, you are to be blamed. And he, you know what he did? He was firm, he was in his face, and he got right down to the business at hand. But may I tell you something? Paul did not destroy his relationship with Peter when he withstood him to the face. He did it properly. You know how I know that? Because when you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, in 2 Peter chapter 3, and read verse 15, Peter calls Paul his beloved brother. So Paul did this in a very, very spiritual and proper manner. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter says about Paul, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Our beloved brother Paul. That's what he calls him. So you can rebuke a person who's offended you without destroying the relationship. As a matter of fact, you'll probably, I know you'll improve it because you'll feel better about it. And if you're very accurate, the other person will feel better about it because they're not going to keep doing the same stupid stuff that is wrong. Okay? Now here's another thing to do. Be ready to forgive. Be ready to forgive. But don't be a doormat. Luke 17. You say, what? I said, well, be ready to forgive, but don't be a doormat. Luke 17. Go back and see what Luke wrote in his gospel that Jesus said, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, we are to forgive, and we are to forgive again and again if need be. But when you're confronting bad behavior, be sure not to set yourself up to be trampled on again and again. In other words, this person that is having to come back and repent again and again may or may not be doing the same thing, but a lot of times what will happen is you become a pushover. And so the person comes in and does something. Oh, I'm sorry I did that to you. I'm sorry I stole that $5 out of your wallet. Comes back the next day, steals another $5. Oh, I'm sorry I stole that $5 out of your wallet. He comes back the next day and you say, well, you know, I'm supposed to forgive him every time he comes back because that's what the Lord said to do. You know, so seven times in a day repent, then seven times I'm supposed to forgive him. I guess that's what I need to do. And he comes back the next day and steals another $5. You know what you do? Get your wallet and don't let him have access to it. And don't be a doormat. And then you won't have to worry about rebuking him for stealing another $5, and he won't have to worry about asking for forgiveness for stealing another $5. You know, Paul was very wise because he said, listen, you got some problems going on that keep repeating themselves. There are ways to put a stop to these problems, and you should do that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, there were freeloaders in Thessalonica. They were taking advantage of the generosity of the brethren, sharing their stuff among themselves, kind of the way they had everything common. And Paul said, now listen, you got a situation like that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse 10, he said, even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. He said, you got some guy that keeps in there, you know, freeloading off the deal? If he's not working, don't let him eat. And hey, hey, don't even company with that man. Okay? So, when you rebuke somebody and they repent, just be sure if you're doing something that sets yourself up for the next kill, you know, don't do that again. Don't give them that opportunity. And you won't have to worry about it repeating itself over and over again. So finally, we'll say this. When you're trying to reconcile with others, if your child has caused the conflict, he or she may have to reconcile with God first. Some of the things you deal with your children, you just get them out of the way right away. But, you know, children, like the prodigal son, have a way of taking advantage of you. And when that prodigal son came to himself there in that pig pen, you know what he did? He talked about to himself about how he was going to approach his father to come back as a servant because he wasn't worthy to be a son. And you know what he said? Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. In other words, the boy had to reconcile with God before he could reconcile with his father. Children have a way of taking advantage of you. And if your child just seems the least bit sorry or pitiful, you're prone to forgive everything and run to his or her aid. And she's prone, or he's prone, to live off you for the rest of your life. So you've got to be firm with your children and make sure they've reconciled their problem with God before they come to reconcile with you, or you may be funding the bad habit of a drug addict, as an example, for the rest of your life. And that's not reconciliation, okay? You're not doing yourself any favors, and you're not doing them any favors. So reconciliation is a good thing. And it often requires the offended party to make the first move. So what we've talked about today is how to make the best attempt at reconciliation. Confront small things right away. Pray for the offending party. Don't talk about it with others. Don't take vengeance on them. Go to him or her and have them in the face. Make that rebuke. Don't attack the person's character. Just deal with the conflict. Be firm and get right down to the business at hand. Be ready to forgive, but don't set yourself up for repeat offenses. And if your child has caused a conflict, then you make sure they reconcile with God first. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.